You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the sleep addict?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
When a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, it makes a sound. Live from Rosemary Hills, more specifically live from the middle of Rosemary Hills Golf Course, I'm Deirdre Gardner, and this is It Makes a Sound. Welcome to our first on-location show of the celebration of the music of Wim Pharos. Here I am, standing outside the house of Trisha Elwood, a lifelong resident and one of Wim Pharos's earliest fans and benefactors. We are here to uncover more about the who, what, where behind the concert that was recorded for posterity, lost and now found. Found after decades of neglect in an attic on the outskirts of the now nearly abandoned golf community. The concert contained within the cassette that we call the Attic Tape. Trisha Elwood has answers. For today's show, I stand at a crossroads. Literally, I'm in the middle of the road right now in a place that I haven't been in quite a long time. It's hallowed ground. I am looking at the home that Trisha Elwood grew up in. A sprawling estate on a lot that was once the choicest of locations because it stands across from Rosemary Hills Clubhouse. Listeners, in a conference recreation room on the second floor of that clubhouse, Trisha Elwood held her eighth grade graduation party in 1992. It was at that eighth grade graduation party where Wim Pharos took the stage to give his first public concert. So let us turn to that clubhouse. Oh. Oh, no. Oh, listeners, oh my gosh. I'm looking at the clubhouse and it is certainly not as it was. Oh, I'm standing here perplexed. I have to tell you, more than two decades after the event that shook the music world, what I see is unsettling. It's eerie. Listeners, we must go there. We must take a closer look. I'm walking up the hill. Okay. I am walking towards the clubhouse. Oh, I'm okay. I think it was a golf ball. Yes. Okay. Ew, what is the... Ew. Okay, we're almost by the clubhouse. We're at the clubhouse for a field investigation. That's right. On today's live on-location episode of It Makes a Sound, we're doing a field investigation at the historical location most associated with the music of Wim Pharos. And then we'll go back down the hill, where we will meet Trisha Elwood, the key organizer of the concert. With Trisha, we will unlock more nuanced details of that special night and ask her to help us complete the lyrics from the songs heard on the attic tape. Okay. So obviously stay tuned. Okay, I have reached the roundabout in the driveway in front of the clubhouse. I will report to you what I'm seeing. The large fountain in the center is rusted and cracked. No water flows. There's an abandoned peacock nest inside, yes. Ooh, and something green, what is that? Oh, it's just crinkled cans of Mountain Dew. Wow, the mansion is so decrepit. My gosh, that happened quickly. It's like nature's revenge. Dandelions, crabgrass, and ivy have totally taken over. God, those ornate front doors, wow. I used to help Mom Windex those doors. The glass was engraved with orchids. And now it's just boarded up with planks. The caddies used to stand right here to shake hands goodbye to the golfers, and then they'd transfer the wad of cash that remained in their hands into their pockets. I thought they were magicians. I can't believe all these windows are shuttered. Well, wait, no, on the second floor, there's two or three. They're just broken. It doesn't look vandalized. Just left behind. Listeners, for the record, in 1992, at the time of Wim Pharos' concert, the clubhouse events calendar was full. Traffic through this roundabout was probably at its peak. I think Trisha's family must have pulled some strings to secure a party there. But now, I am facing down the hill at these houses. These houses, which in the 90s were meant to be so grand and tony. The night of the party, they were glittering at dusk, but now on this gray day, they just look bizarre and bloated and bland. It's nearly impossible to sell these now. The golf course shut down so many years ago, and the local government can't get its act together enough to figure out what's next for the land. So the handful of residents that remain here, they just can't afford to sell. And for one reason or another, are holding on for dear life to what they've got. Four houses on this block alone are foreclosed. The shells of the shopping malls that lured people off the highway in the 80s and 90s are waiting to be razed. The new school district closed years ago. Now any kids from Rosemary, I mean, there was never any kids in Rosemary Hills, but now any of those kids are outsourced to a school in another town. Trisha must be living quite differently now. If you build it, they will come, they had thought. Rosemary Hills in the 90s was stirred by a gust of wind that promised to be a sea change, but ended up just blowing a few hats off of people's heads. And, well, the people were like, oops, there goes my hat. Oh, well. So those who could just bought another hat. Hundreds of millions invested towards what would become a great golf ghost town. I understand it. Now that I have recently returned home from a far-off place. Someone asks you, where is Rosemary Hills? And you can point to a map. There. But there is no there. That's the sad truth.
Ah! Oh! Oh, God! Ew! Oh, Jesus! There's
also a feral peacock infestation. Have I mentioned that specifically? Yeah. You guessed it. Tracing back to the two peacocks that Park Song kept as trophy pets back decades ago. There are more peacocks than humans here now. They just saunter along like they own the place. The roads are all full of calcified peacock droppings. They sit on the roofs with their trains displayed like oligarchs. They tend to gather around the clubhouse for some reason, it seems. They're always around here. Ah! Those three just flew over to Trish's oak tree. Well, what was I telling you? Right, okay, look, Rosemary Hills, okay, perhaps it was never a model of civilization. Perhaps it was never a mecca of greatness, but there was a time, there was a moment that the town had soul and an undercurrent of verve, because it counted among its 9,638 residents one young Wim Pharos. And we're talking about that time on It Makes a Sound. Rosemary Hills, that feeling that there was more, that sense that there is more. Don't you swallow that feeling down. Wim Pharos was the light under a bushel, the flavor in the salt, that mysterious shadow you saw flickering before you in a cave. You're not like a loaf of bread that's been in the freezer forever and is defrosting into a soggy mess on the table. Strive to be more delicious. I know that the music on the attic tape will help charge us with a much-needed dose of adrenaline and wonder. That's why we're here, on location, back to this historical crossroads, to remember the music and to find that electrified current once again.
Oh, hi there. Could I help you with something?
And here we go. This is my first encounter with Trisha since the summer after we graduated Rosemary Hills Junior High in 1992. Hi, Trisha! Remember me? It's Deirdre Gardner. Hi!
Oh, my God, Deirdre Gardner. Wow, Ralphie, stop it! No, Ralphie, don't do that. Don't eat the dropping. Stop, sit! Be quiet! Sit, Ralphie. Oh, my God, how are you? I heard that you were back in town. You look great.
Thank you.
You look so different. What are you doing out there in the street? Who are you shouting at? Ralphie!
You look nice, too. No more bangs.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Trisha Elwood.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm working on a project, and guess what? You're on my show.
Me?
It Makes a Sound.
Oh!
Welcome and surprise,
what?
You are today's special guest star on our first live on location episode.
Oh my gosh, what?
And who's this? Hi! You're being recorded live on It Makes a Sound.
Oh, Cody, this is Deirdre Gardner. She was a friend of Mommy's back when we were your age. I mean, this is my son, Cody.
How old are you, Cody? What's on that iPad? A video game?
Cody.
Well, here's something more exciting than that. I'm here to interview your mom about a very special artist who came from right here. In Rosemary Hills.
Oh.
And I have a show.
Oh, it's really raining now. So, I don't know. Why don't you... Well, you can... You come on in, Deirdre. Come in.
Oh
damn it. Ralph,
thank you.
Stop it!
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, can I... Who are you talking about? Wait, are you recording right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Cody's 10. And I was so sorry to hear about your mom.
Oh, thanks.
How is she doing?
I have some help right now. I got a home nurse for just like a few hours a week.
Nice.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But let's catch up on that another time. Today I'm here with a mission.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to cut right to the chase for my show. Okay?
Uh-huh.
The topic is genius and its location. These are topics you're very familiar with.
Oh.
Do you like music, Cody?
Cody, don't be rude. Deirdre asked you if you liked music. Cody.
No.
Well, that's okay because you just haven't heard the right kind yet. And Trisha, that's why I'm here. I'm excited for you to talk to me and to Rosemary Hills and to Cody about Wim Pharos.
Who's that?
Trisha. Wim Pharos.
who made his concert debut at your eighth grade graduation party.
Oh.
In the clubhouse party room. That incredible night.
Oh my gosh. I have not thought about that guy in so long. I totally forgot about that. But it's so great that you remember my eighth grade graduation party. You have such a good memory. It's funny. You know, that guy, he lived down the street at the end of the cul-de-sac on the other side of the fence where you'd turn around by the gate, remember? He never talked to anyone. He was so weird, but he was kind of like cute. Wasn't he? Wasn't he kind of cute?
He was beautiful. He was very beautiful. Though Trisha and I weren't terribly close in junior high.
Oh, wait a minute. Come on. We were in the Spanish club.
That's right. We were in the Spanish club.
I was Patricia.
What was your Spanish club name?
Though we weren't very close, I've always admired her. And in retrospect, Trisha, I'm so impressed by your taste.
Wait,
you had such an elevated music aesthetic.
Spanish club name?
Dolores. It was Dolores.
Dolores.
But for you, at such a young age, here around the golf course, to see the potential for greatness existing within the enigma of Wim Pharos. We had that in common. I didn't realize back then. So can you tell us more about what you saw early on in Wim that made you take such a chance on him at your party?
Wait, Wim Pharos was his name. This is about Wim Pharos?
Yes.
Let me think. My grandmother made me invite him. She felt bad for him, I remember now, because I guess he was a loner or poor or something. I think somebody might have died. I think somebody was dead or something, so I had to invite him. Wait, what else? Oh my God, Dances with Trolls. The Troll Grotto. I have not thought about that in so long. There used to be this little weeded over box garden in the front of this house that was like filled with troll dolls in like a specific arrangement. Like sometimes they would be in this winding conga line or something unusual, or on Christmas, they might be in like a nativity scene. Weird. And sometimes you'd see this kid. He was just sitting there really, really, really quiet next to the grotto with his legs tucked under him like communing with the trolls. And he never really, you know, said anything when you drove by. Well, you never really drove by directly because the house was so far at the end of the cul-de-sac and no one ever really went down there unless you had to turn around because you forgot something. But you know, you could see him back there sometimes for hours at a time. He'd be sitting there like, I don't know, like, I guess like he was having troll therapy. I mean, when Dad used to come by, he called it Dances with Trolls. We all called it that. It started out when we were really little, and it was like, okay, you have a troll garden. That's cute, or kind of like, I don't know, so weird. But he'd still sit there. And when he got older, then it was like, you know, really bizarre.
Oh. Well, then, what was it that turned you on to his musical genius?
Well, he just brought a guitar to my party and started playing in the corner, but then he wouldn't stop. Oh, yeah, I remember I was like, you want some food, or you want to eat some cake, or just like be normal? But he just kept playing, and my parents and the other adults were like begging him to have a sandwich, but the band played on, you know, like in the Titanic, the band played on. Anyway, kids are so weird, you know? Sometimes they're weird. I mean, you're not like that, Cody.
Patricia, no. It wasn't like that. I mean, we all thought it was amazing and special. Remember what happened with the bubbles?
No.
The end of the first song. All of us kids were like, minds blown. We felt that connection. We swayed.
Oh.
We swayed together.
Really?
All the grade school cliques just like melted away in a moment. You were so happy.
I was.
You blew a bubble that popped over Wim at the end of the song. Like, it was like a blessing,
oh,
like a bubble
I don't
blessing.
Know, gosh, Deirdre, I got to tell you, I don't think we had bubbles. I mean, I have a soap allergy.
No, there was definitely bubbles.
I mean, I remember Dances with Trolls being good, surprisingly, but it wasn't like my style or anything. And then he just played. It got so annoying. And a bunch of us just went by the clubhouse pool and danced to Madonna and Spice Girls. Oh, that was so fun. Kayleen Becker was there.
Listeners, as you know, going by the pool with Kayleen Becker on that June night in 1992 was like being in a fallout shelter when the Beatles came to America. Like facing away from the Taj Mahal. Like sleeping through the birth of your child.
Deirdre, what is this show? Are people listening to this like now?
Well, Trisha, it's a show for people who want to believe that when a tree falls in a forest, it makes a sound because they gave a damn about the tree in the first place. They knew the extraordinary when they saw it. It's a show about a big thing that went boom. The sound of Wim Pharos and the responsibility. The responsibility to remember it. We have a responsibility to remember the music and bring it into the present in Rosemary Hills, here and now. We need it, Trisha. That's what it's about, okay? Cody, don't you want to know more about this concert? Hey, Cody.
I know what you did to Tommy Neihart. He's my friend. I know who you are.
Yeah, well, I know who you are, kid. Because I'm standing right in front of you. And your mom introduced us, and that's how civilized people get to know each other. The old-fashioned way.
Okay, Deirdre.
And you should know who Wim Pharos is. Everyone should. Remember Wim Pharos. I have his music, Trisha. I recorded every song he played that night at your party on my cassette recorder. You and Kayleen Becker may have missed it, but I didn't. Not a single note. And here's the tape.
What's that?
Oh, that's a cassette tape. It plays music.
It's an instrument?
No. It's like iTunes, kind of. But if your phone only played about 10-ish songs or
and
something.
And wasn't a phone.
Any 10 songs?
Well, no. I mean, just the same 10 songs.
This one has 9 songs.
Forever without changing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, you would have to erase the songs on the tape and then record something else over it.
How?
Well, you need to take songs off the radio or other cassette
tapes. Record them live.
Usually.
So, how many of those do you need then?
Well, I used to have hundreds.
What? Where do you keep them?
Well, you'd need like a tower, like a special, it was like a special bookshelf.
What? Just use YouTube.
Well, there was no YouTube. This is how we used to keep music.
That sucks. Can I see?
Yes. Be careful.
What do you press to play it?
Oh, honey, it doesn't play itself.
You need
itself.
A cassette tape player.
You need a little machine.
Player.
Yeah,
you
that's
need a
it's
cassette
called.
Tape player.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Stop saying sucks.
Or a boombox, you know?
Boombox? What's that?
Well, I mean, it's
that's
like,
the special
it was,
machine.
You know, it was like boxy, and you could be really, it could be really big, or it had a handle, or you could carry it around or play your music, and lots of buttons, and usually 2 decks for the cassettes. And when you press
sometimes
the
3
eject button, the tape sometimes would fall out like a fan. And later, they would make them so on top, you could also play
sure, CDs.
What
well,
are
they're less important
and big, usually circular stereos that the music would actually boom through.
Yeah.
Did the stereos have nets and look like giant fly eyes?
Yeah, yes. I guess they did. The mesh was on top.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those.
No, honey. We don't have a boom box. I threw my last one away. Gosh, like when you were like born, I believe.
We have one in the basement next to the toolbox by the ladders in R2-D2.
Oh, that's the wet vac.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Deirdre Gardner. This is our first live on location episode of It Makes a Sound in the home of Trisha Elwood. Her small son, Cody Elwood has just claimed that they are in possession of a vintage boombox cassette tape player.
Elwood, it's hyphenated.
You understand what this means.
That's not my name.
Cody?
I'm not small.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I just meant, can you go down into the basement and get that boombox for us? Please? Right now?
I'm tall for my age.
Cody, be good and go down and get the boombox for Deirdre, okay?
I don't have to, but I will.
Trisha, this... people of Rosemary Hills, the... Oh, my God. Trisha, it's serendipity. Have we at last found the means to play the attic tape? Here. Did we just need to return to the source? We're here, in the ancestral home of Trisha Elwood, the woman responsible, even inadvertently, for Wim Pharos's first public concert given at her 8th grade graduation party. Trisha's son, Cody Elwood,
His name is actually Elwood Nowakowski. Just note that
Elwood Nowakowski.
Right.
Will deliver up to us from their dusty basement our analog Rosetta Stone. And we will finally be able to hear the music that has been up until this moment entombed in this little plastic sarcophagus. I'm holding up the cassette tape. Listen. Right now, all you've heard is the dinky rattle of the tape spools. But in moments, perhaps, finally, it will be revealing its secrets.
Can I have my iPad back now?
Oh my...
He found it.
Gosh, my boombox. I totally had no idea that we still had this. Oh my God, I saved up so much money to buy this. I went with Kayleen Becker to Radio
Shack. Can we plug it in?
And
plug it in.
Cody.
Does it work?
Honey, could you just plug it in for us?
It's so heavy and dusty. Ew! This is so old.
Oh my God, just plug it in for Mom and her friend.
I'll
okay,
do
this
it.
Was kind of like our iPad, but way better in our opinion. Right, Deirdre?
Where's the outlet?
I can do it.
I remember I bought a cassette tape that day too. En Vogue.
Cody, can you just plug it into the outlet, please?
Gosh, baby, did you get shot?
I hate your stupid thing!
Oh, yes. Let me see.
It works.
What's that? Oh. I'm just getting in that we have a tornado watch for the western edge of St. Clair.
It Makes a Sound is written by Jacqueline Landgraf, co-directed by Jacqueline Landgraf and Anya Saffer, sound designed and mixed by me, Vincent Cascione. Original music by Nate Wida, with Jacqueline Landgraf as Deirdre Gardner, and featuring Siobhan Fallon Hogan as Trisha Elwood, and Melissa Mahoney as Cody. And that's me playing the weather guy on Trisha's boombox. It Makes a Sound was originally produced by Night Vale Presents. Have you been unpacking your attic? You can let Deirdre know at itmakesasound@aol.com or tell the world on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook, etc., etc. For instance, here's a question for this week. What's your best memory from 8th grade? If you dig our show, make some noise, write us a review. It goes a long way. Thanks for listening. Remember to tell kids to be careful around power outlets. And remember, Wim Pharos.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.